I need a beer.
All right. This is Bum Wine Bob. We're getting to an all new edition of Bobcat right here on the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel and on all your favorite podcast apps. Where we bring you the best of the worst in cheap booze, the bottom shelf, bum wines, beers, 40s, malt liquor, all the stuff you grew up on. We cover here each and every week on the podcast. So do us a solid. Smash that subscribe button. Now over 21,000 subscribers and counting on the YouTube channel. And hey, thank you for everybody who joined us for the 20,000 subscriber celebration, where we cracked open the final can of Colt 45 Double Malt to go along with the other guys here. If I can grab all of them in my hand without dropping anything. Luckily, they're all empty. So the Colt 45 trifecta there, if I can line these up properly for everybody to see at home. You get the picture here. But hey, 20,000 subscribers strong, where we cracked these open. We had a great time the live stream last week on the podcast. So stay tuned. There'll be more of that. We have episode number 400 around the corner in, what, I think this is episode 389. So in about 10 weeks or so, we'll be back and doing something fun for episode 400. So that's why you got to smash that subscribe button and stay tuned for what we have on tap here on the podcast, because we have another great episode on tap for you guys this week. So let's get the party started here. Let's wake them up here. Roadhouse is here. Roadhouse man, how you doing?
Busted.
He's still recovering. It's a big party. Almost a week or so ago, and he's still recovering from the party over there. But hey, cheers. Cheers to you.
20K out there. Was a blast.
Hey, cheers. And now that the weather is finally changing, you know, or hopefully for the best.
Right.
I mean, we hit 80 degrees here the past 2 days, even though now it's going to drop back down again. But I thought I'd have to finish off some of the remaining Sam Adams of the winter variety pack that I have sitting around now that winter's kind of creeping out the door.
Yeah.
We got to make room in the fridge. We got to get the spring beers in, because as we talked, there could be a Sam Adams spring break, spring favorites variety pack, whatever they're calling it, coming to the podcast in the next coming weeks. We know that Kevin's out there on the hunt for it, and he might have it. So stay tuned for that one. See, because we always like doing that. A little variety pack is always a good thing. Variety is the spice of life.
You gotta
have all the good stuff out there. And with the changing of the seasons, got to finally get out there. I know you were out there firing up the grill the other night.
Yeah.
Some stuff. I got to finally crack open the grill, you know, get that first, you know, cleaning of everything and
Okay,
what works, what doesn't work. I had to get myself some new grates for the grill, but they're in there. Used them the other night. It's looking good. So spring is right around the corner now. The warmer weather. And that also means the Battle of the Booze tournament will be coming your way in the next few weeks. We got action packed stuff here, guys. That's why you got to stay tuned. And you got to stick around for this stuff, because we have all the good stuff out here. We talked a little bit about it for the on the last episode, going through some of the history in the Battle of the Booze. But soon enough, March Madness season will be tipping off, and right here on the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel, we will have the 2026 Battle of the Booze tournament coming your way. So stay tuned for the official bracket reveal and preview podcast in the coming weeks. I know it's always a good time that people are waiting for. They're always waiting for it.
Right. You know, this time of year with the Battle of the Booze to me is really exciting, because it just kicks off spring and summer, just the good times getting ready to roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes summertime outdoor drinking, eating.
Yeah,
all the fun stuff out there. And as you said, we fired up the grill, getting everything ready. So we have a special guest joining us this week who knows a little bit about foods and the types of foods that could, you know, make your life a little bit spicier, a little more exciting. So we have a special guest, perfect timing, the perfect segue as we like to say out here. So joining us this week, she's best known as an authority on aphrodisiac foods, but she's also a speaker, award-winning cookbook author, a freelance wine writer, and a wine competition judge. Please welcome the lovely Amy Riley is here. Amy, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the show. Happy to have you here. As you said, it's perfect timing. I mean, I know we did miss by about a month or so the Valentine's Day season, but yeah. Hey, but what you cover, that's year round.
Right. I was going to say, it's like there's no bad time for better sex. So. Yeah.
Yes. So, and any tips people are always welcome to. And to dive into what you talk about, and okay, are these myths? Are they real? So we hope to dive in and get into this with you here. And I know one of the big things that you like to talk about and review is wine.
Yes.
So we decided to bring along some wine with us here today.
Yes.
And originally, I had tried to get you to go on the very bottom shelf of the wine.
Absolutely.
Spectrum.
Yes.
I wanted to. I mean, I had a little bit left here that I had to go along the MD 2020 road over here, which
not sure that's actually wine.
That's debatable. It's questionable in some cases, or maybe Thunderbird. I mean, something along the very bottom shelf.
This is
over here
under the shelf,
but
under the shelf,
under the shelf, covered in dust, as we always like to say. It's very at the very bottom over there, but we were discussing and Roadhouse was the one that has suggested about, you know, something else that was on the cheaper side of things, and that was Arbor Mist was the wine that he had brought up. And I was like, you know what, I mean, I haven't had it in, I mean, it's been a long time since then. Same. It's never been anything. And I went out searching for it, and in some stores I couldn't actually find it at first, and I think they didn't even have it in one spot I went to, and then I finally found it out there. So I was able to pick up a bottle here of the Arbor Mist, the White Zinfandel Exotic Fruits. So
I love that you picked what are exotic.
I don't know. We will find out. What are exotic fruits? And I figured it was fitting.
Are they anything like exotic dancers?
Maybe. Well, we're talking about aphrodisiacs, and you want to talk about better sex and what can help you in that realm. And I was like,
exotic dancer might help.
That's perfect right here. So I was like, I can't not get this one, especially for the price of it, which I think the bottle, I took a picture of it at the store. It was on sale. They had the nice, sale sticker on here. I got to go back and find the picture here now.
Yeah,
I guess while I'm searching for that, I know Roadhouse also went out and was searching for the Arbor Mist, and I know he picked up. You picked up the same one, right?
I did. I actually did find this this item. Nice. I had many choices, by the way. And I was kind of looking at them right now. There was strawberry, blackberry, peach, the exotic fruit, and there was one more, and it's hard to see here. Anyways, I chose the exotic fruits.
Yeah, it was. They only had, where I looked, they only had the exotic fruits and strawberry were the only ones. And this was on sale for $4.99. It was
all right.
$4.99, oh, wow. So under $5.
So I went out. Well, truth is, I remembered yesterday that I had promised to get a bottle of Arbor Mist. Okay, Arbor Mist. So my husband happened to have the day off, and I said to him, "Hey, can you just run to the grocery store and get me this bottle of Arbor Mist? I don't care what flavor, just get me a bottle." Came back 20 minutes later. He was like, "They don't have it." Okay, really? So then I said, "Look, this is another store, Smart and Final. I'm sure Smart and Final will have it." We looked online, sold out. So then he was like, "I'll try BevMo." Sold out. I'll try Total Wine and More. There are a multitude of places, like within a 20-minute drive of our house. He tried everywhere. Then finally, he was like, let's try Instacart. Sold out. So he said he was not going to be deterred. He was like, you are getting your Arbor Mist.
We are finding this bottle of wine.
There are two sketchy liquor stores in a walking distance of our house. He's like, I'm going for a walk. Came back, sold out. Wow. So, and I, you know, he didn't know what would be a sufficient substitute. So empty handed. Okay. So I thought, gosh, what am I going to do to like, what can I do that's comparable to Arbor Mist? So what I decided on is my favorite $4 wine. So this is not actually a $4 wine, but for some reason at the holidays, Trader Joe's sells this $20 wine for $4.
Okay.
Nice. So it's the best I could do.
Okay, that's fine. Hey, I mean, not that we were setting the bar that high, you know, with Arbor Mist. It was,
right.
I mean,
I don't want to disparage this wine. The one that I have is spectacular. It's a great wine at $20. It's insane at $4. So I am drinking absolutely delicious that will not leave me with a headache.
Okay. it might be the best for you to not have the Arbor Mist. I mean, for $4, I mean, that's good. I mean, anything, a deal like that, if it's $20 down to $4 for a bottle of wine that's actually, you know, a decent bottle, I mean, that's good.
It's a great wine. It comes from New Zealand. It's a great wine. So cheers.
Okay. Cheers.
Enjoy your Arbor Mist.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, I'm going to crack open this guy here. Like I said, it's been quite some time since, and I was thrown off at first because I don't know when they redesigned the bottles. I don't want to say tinted, but they had like not like a coating on them they used to. So when I was looking for the bottles in the store at first, I was like, where is it? And they kind of blended in with all your regular, you know, Barefoot and all the like the cheaper wines out there. So I couldn't find it at first, and then I looked down at the, you know, the very bottom shelf, and I was like, "Oh wait, there it is." They changed the, So, interesting. Well, like my fanciest, you know, beer. So you got to go all out. I mean, if you want to go back, you know, probably college would have been the last time I probably had even a sip of this, you know, buying it for.
That is probably the right glass, if that's the.
Yeah. I said, I can break out a wine glass, and I came down here, and I was like, I have a beer glass, or I have this one random.
The smell of the plastic will probably enhance the wine.
Yeah.
So I think
it really does not have. I mean, Roadhouse. I don't know if you can tell there. I mean,
and the only thing that could have done better is a solo cup, really.
Yeah, I mean, I get a little bit of a smell to it, but it really doesn't have any distinct. No.
It smells cheap.
Yeah. So. So, all right. Cheers.
Let's cheers.
All right. I want you to name all the exotic fruits.
Raspberry. Right off the bat, I can taste raspberry.
Yeah, I taste raspberry. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do they have on here? They have a raspberry, they have a lime, and I don't even know what that is. Is that an orange? I don't know if it even says here.
Kiwi or something?
Yeah. Yeah, but
I would have guessed, like, I don't know, pineapple, kiwi, or I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Just skip the, I mean, why bother with the glass?
Yeah.
I was seeing the difference.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. I don't know. Is there a difference with mine? I'm not. Now I've got to find out.
Go for it. Hey, the wine, that's a party.
It's a
come
heavy
on.
Bottle.
Hey, exactly. Yeah. I mean, then, and that's a big guy over there.
Yeah.
I just say, what size is that? Is that a?
It's 750. It's just, it's a champagne bottle, so it's heavy.
Okay, I was gonna say. It looks like that. Now this guy, the Arbor Mist is only 6%. Is this now what percentage is the wine that you have over there?
Oh, mine's something normal, probably I guess 13, like 12.5. 12, let me see. 12.5.
Okay. All right. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the things that's deceiving, because it's not quite at that right. bum wine level, as we say. Like this is like on like the Boone's Farm.
Yeah. Level. Yeah.
Of like that, yeah. that four, between like 4 and 6% is.
What really kills you is the sugar.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's weird sugar high, and then the crash, and yeah.
Yeah, it's 100 calories per serving, and there's supposedly five servings per bottle. So,
well, I thought this was one serving.
I mean, and hey, you know, 500 calories. I mean, you want to make that 11 grams of sugar. Serve well chilled, refrigerate after opening. Made by the E&J Gallo Winery, you know, the same people that,
you, Jesus.
Yeah, that, you know, brought us, you know, the Thunderbird and the Night Train.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, is the, contains 0% juice. So, you're not getting any juice here, sorry.
I love it.
Sorry, guys, but, I mean, not bad. I mean, for,
no,
It's not offensive. It doesn't taste bad. It tastes that little bit of fruity taste to it.
It's inoffensive. I love it.
Yeah, that's what we always say. It's like it's not bad. It's not great. It's inoffensive. You could drink this, and you understand why people do like this, because
right.
I mean,
it's a soft drink. I mean, it's a soft drink with a hint of alcohol.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good way to put it over there. Yeah. But you got the fancier stuff over there. So you said that's one of your go-to wines these days, and I know.
Well, they had this insane sale, so I bought a case. Of course, actually, I probably bought more than a case if I'm telling the truth. But I bought a case at one time, and then I may have gone back for another bottle or two here and there.
Yeah. At $4 a bottle, and if it's good, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mean, that's what we're here. That's what we do. We find the best bang for the buck.
Right, right. And I totally believe in that. But I just try to go the best bang for $7.99 as opposed to...
Yeah.
You take it one step above the...
I do.
It's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's perfectly fine to go through. Everybody has their favorites of what they like, and especially since you're a wine person over there. So I mean, you know wines. I mean, if you're judging wines, you're writing about wines, we know you know what you're talking about over there. So I mean, we just drink the stuff. We're like, okay, it's good. Yeah. We like it. We don't like it. But I mean, you're the one that can go through and you can really describe it and go into detail about it. Where it's like, that tastes good.
I have a friend who runs a wine shop, and I, like, when I need some more wine, maybe I have company coming or something, I'll say, okay, what do you have right now, either on sale or that you just really love in, like, the $8 to $12 range? And he'll put together a case for me, and they will deliver it to my house for free if it's $100 or more worth of wine. And so I just, you know... Like 12 bottles of like $8 to $12 wines delivered to my door. And that to me is like great. That's great wine.
Yeah.
It's going to be drank. It's not going to go to waste. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with it there. So, I mean, what's your favorite types of wine? What's your usual go-to? Or if you have any favorite brands or whatever is your usual go-to?
So, I love sparkling wines. That's my thing. I love anything bubbly. So I was very excited because this is a sparkling wine. I was very excited that, you know, to find something like this for $4 a bottle. I drink a lot of Spanish cavas because I think they're a better deal than most sparkling wines. They tend to be really high quality. Like stuff that's under $15 tends to be really high quality.
Okay.
I made a rule during COVID, I drink bubbles every Friday. And so, you know, I'm buying a bottle every Friday. Like, you have to have a lot of Fridays that are $10 night, because otherwise, like, your wine budget's ridiculous. That's just crazy. So, because I'm eating frozen pizza with my kids.
Yeah.
So I want my $4 to $8 bottle of cava with my frozen pizza with my kids every Friday. So that's my big thing. I drink mostly white wines right now because I have to admit I have this weird condition called histamine intolerance, and a lot of red wines just instantly put me to sleep. So I'll drink them for work, but I won't drink them for fun because it's not fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and once you brought up that the pairing with the wine with the pizza, have you seen the Yellowtail Domino's red blend wine?
You've got to be kidding, really?
Yes, I saw it at the store a few weeks back, and I knew I saw somebody else.
They're so smart. That's kind of disgusting, but they're so smart.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for $11.99, yeah, Yellowtail Domino's red blend. You're the perfect sip for every slice. The Yellowtail.
I think you could probably, for $11.99, I have a feeling you could do a lot better.
Probably, yeah, which is deceiving too, which I think a lot of people have that misconception about. You have to get like these very expensive bottles of wine to like really enjoy it. Now, like I said, I'm not a fine wine connoisseur, but I have some friends that are really into wine, and every time I'm at his house, he'll be like, oh hey, I bought this bottle, and he'll crack it open and he'll sip on it. Like, okay, you know, to me, I'm like, I drink it, I'm like, okay, it tastes good. I mean, he'll be like, oh, you know, you smell it, you taste the notes of everything. And I'm like, it tastes good for me. It's like, oh, you know, pair it, you know, with your steak or your lobster or whatever. But he usually gets like whatever's on sale for like under $20. And they're usually pretty good. So you can find those good bottles of wine at a cheaper price. You don't have to be spending, you know, 50 or more on these really expensive bottles. Like, you go into the store, and we talk about this all the time, going into like the craft beer aisle, and there's tons of stuff out there, designs on cans, things look amazing.
And
you're like, oh man, this sounds great, the artwork is amazing. And then you buy the beer, you know, you're spending like $20 for like a 4-pack of 16-ounce cans. You get it home, you take a sip of one, you're like, oh, this was a bad choice out there. And you go into the stores, you go down the wine aisles, and it's just overwhelming if you don't know anything.
It's so
like they have some in cases behind glass, and it's like $200 and I'm like, oh, where do you start? Where do you go? And it's like, okay, I want to go under $20, but have something that tastes good and isn't a cheap like a, you know, a Barefoot wine or a Yellowtail or something that's like this mass produced, cheaper.
And I gotta say, it's become really hard because at least in this country, it's really expensive to make a great bottle of wine. And so people, the prices are, you know, they are, I mean, you're paying partially for the real estate and the laws and all the things.
Yeah, they have to somehow make money off this stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're putting into it.
So, I mean, I get it 100% why it's so expensive. If you try to get something that's like a local or like something that's not this huge mass produced conglomerate doing it, it's like, okay, it's a winery in California somewhere, small winery, but you know, well known, but not like E&J Gallo Wines or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like you get it, you're paying for it because they got to make a dollar somehow. I mean,
somehow, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's hard. But that being said, you can find a lot of very enjoyable wines in like the $10 range. I'm going to say $10. I have a couple. I live within walking distance of a Trader Joe's store, so I have a few favorites there that I can, you know, that slide in well under 10, okay. Which is great for just everyday stuff.
Sure.
And then if I'm having people over, I'll just I'll upgrade to the 10 to 15.
We'll bump it up a few bucks. Company's coming over. Okay, get the, where's the $16 bottle? We got one of those around here.
Yeah,
it depends on what the people like. You know,
people
Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'll bump it up. But
you
absolutely, I do. I drink, I enjoy wine almost every day, and I primarily drink wines in like the 12 and under category, happily. And I have worked in the wine business on and off all of my adult life, and I have been a wine competition judge, and I am happy to drink wines in that, you know, in that category. You find great wine. Totally.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, why not? Why not? If you don't have to spend the money on it, then why do it? I mean, that's the big thing. It's like, okay, yeah, if you like the stuff that's that price, then yeah, you know, go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see, refill this. See how many servings we can get.
Just buying for seconds.
Yeah. See, yeah, we got it.
Great.
We got to put in those servings out there, you know.
All right. So we've talked a lot about wine.
Yeah. These exotic fruits.
To now we've got it. We've got to now segue into the sex part, because that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you got the exotic fruits now.
You got your exotic fruits
flowing now through the veins here. I was gonna say, now how, you know, you say you like the wine and everything. So now, how do you become someone that starts writing about, you know, aphrodisiac foods and, you know, stuff along that when it comes to, you know, sexual health and everything? So how did it kind of transfer? I'm assuming that happened after you already doing the wine judging and everything.
Right. So
my wine.
First job out of college was in the tasting room of a winery. That's how this all started. But the transition into the aphrodisiac thing, it happened as a need. I've got to be honest. I was working as a wine writer, I'm grateful to say, at a very, very young age. I was like 23. And there wasn't enough work as a freelance one. There wasn't enough work as a freelancer, and nobody wanted to hire me full time. So I thought, well, I need to diversify. And I really wanted to go more into food. I really liked health. I really like that side of food. I just kind of naturally thought, well, what would get people interested in eating well and that side of food? And I thought of sex, and I went into aphrodisiacs.
Okay. Hey, sex. What? Sex always sells. We know that. So yeah, it's like.
Since then I've done so much. I got a master's degree.
Okay.
In the study of food, and I just focused all of my research on to aphrodisiacs and the relationship between food and sex. I have nutrition coaching certification. Like, I kind of went full circle with it. But yeah, the whole idea was, how do you get people excited about eating well, making good food choices? Well, you tell them, you know, that, hey, guess what? This is going to make your sex life better. Like, you may feel okay, right? Most of us go around feeling okay. We're fine. I'm fine, you know? But in truth, we're really like eating in a way that makes us tired. Like, drinking Arbamest is part of eating in a way that makes you tired.
Yes.
And like, we think that's okay. But if you make a few, and honestly, most of them are like easy changes. You make a few, you just approach things a little bit differently, you're going to feel better, and you're going to be clear-headed, and you're going to have energy, and you're going to want more sex.
Valid point. Okay, I think everybody's with you so far. We like where you're going with this here. Like, all right, I can make these adjustments in my. Yeah. You know, okay, maybe.
Cut down the Arbamest.
Maybe don't drink the whole bottle of Arbamest.
Right.
Okay?
Yes. I don't want to say don't drink Arbamest. I'm not anti-Arbamest by any means.
You're gonna start getting hate mail from the Arbamest fans out there.
Yeah.
And I like the Gallows very much. No hate on Arbamest, but you drink half a bottle of Arbamest, and it is contributing to you being tired and sluggish and all of these things that are not going to be beneficial to a great sex life, potentially not even to a great life. Like, you're going to wish that you felt like you did in high school. Well, guess what? You need to stop eating like you're a college freshman. That's all.
Yeah. So that's a great point. It's all you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, it is saying, and I get that. I mean, that is a big thing where it's like, okay, I think everybody knows they need to make the changes, but it's putting them into effect is really where it gets tough for people. I mean, I think we're all guilty of that, and it's easier to not do those things.
But you know, I'm very anti deprivation, because that never works. Like, traditional dieting, these are not great things. But I think that become awareness and exploring what works for you. This is where I think, you know, you can find success without having to feel like you're depriving yourself and all of those things. And I actually have, I have something for your listeners. Like, if this is resonating with anyone, I created this little like exercise. Ooh, exercise is not a good word. I need a better word. Terrible word. Experience.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say experience. Yeah, I think experience is good. Yeah.
So, where I call it, what turns you on at the table, and it's just to help you become aware of what's happening for you, because it's very individual too. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Like, you go on a diet. Well, that's not maybe the right one for you. So this is about your awareness and figuring out what's right for you. So if you want to try this, go to my website, go to eatsomethingsexy.com/podcast and get your free download of what turns you on at the table. And then you can see for yourself. Like, I'm not crazy here. You know, start to learn what it is that like is right for you. And you can start making changes for yourself. Like, it doesn't have to be, I'm going on a diet and I'm not going to have any alcohol and I'm not going to have any sugar or whatever it is, or I'm not going to have any gluten or whatever the thing is this week. I'm not going to have any meat, or I'm only going to eat meat, or, you know, it's just figuring out like, oh, that makes me tired, or, oh, I feel more energized after this, or, oh, that was not like, that was a bad food choice, like those kind of things. And if we all just started thinking a little bit more about all of those things and drinking more water, you know, you can like, you just feel better. You're just better.
You're sure.
Do more, have more, probably have a better sex life. We'll definitely have a better sex life.
Yeah. Be more clear headed and focused.
Right.
On everything, so.
And it also, and it all, I mean, so most of what aphrodisiacs are is really just food science. It's just like the things that people historically thought were like these great sex aids. Well, it turns out these are foods that also either help testosterone production, improve fertility, improve energy, just, you know, sustain, like they're just like high protein foods. So you have sustained energy, or they just, you know, balance your estrogen levels, whatever it, they're all, there's no mystery to them. They're not these mystical things. They're foods that are just really good for your body and potentially good for circulation or energy or sex hormones.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it not really, is it more of a, I don't want to say like a mental thing, but it's like, people always say aphrodisiacs, people are like, oh, was it oysters? That's the one they always say. Like, oysters are like the... Yes. The aphrodisiacs and everything, and I'm sure it all depends on a user basis of what
right. works
for everybody. There's no right. there's no one thing that says, oh, you know, you eat oysters, then boom, you're getting lucky. You're gonna.
Right. No, there's no. A glass of champagne and some oysters. That's like a sexy snack, and I'd be down with it. If I gave that to my husband, he can't stand sparkling wine of any mm-hmm. kind. He thinks it's repulsive. And he also thinks all shellfish is revolting. So if I gave that to him, he'd be like, great, I'm going hungry. You got something for yourself. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I need a steak or something now. So. Where's my steak and my beer?
Are expecting right now results.
Right.
Where...
But there are something, the fascinating thing is there are some foods that have right now results. And I think that's another thing that, you know, historically... Yeah. For example, chili peppers can cause even like a release of endorphins. It can give you like this almost runner's high type feeling. Mm. So where you're ready to take on the world and you feel so, you know, you're on top of it. And they raise your body temperature. So you're ready to tear off your clothing. You've got this runner's high. They can actually, they can actually really put you in that mood. Coffee is another one that kind of has that effect because you get that instant burst of energy, but also coffee is a mood enhancer. So you're suddenly in a better mood and you have more energy. And it's like, if someone suggests sex, well, that's a perfect time for you.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. I'm amped up now. I'm, I'm alert and I'm awake. Right. Now, so we,
I'm in a good mood. I'm awake and I'm in a good mood. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, though, it's interesting though, because like I said, all these things and what works for people individually matters, but there are those things that I never thought of, like the peppers or the coffee as things like that. Now, are those some, like, I was going to say, what would be some, like, are those some of the top ones that you could think of for I guess on a, I don't want to say for everybody, for on like a general spectrum that you've seen or you've heard people had good success with, I guess.
Oh, those are definitely a couple. My company did a survey years ago on like how people viewed food as an aphrodisiac and like what they considered a romantic gift and what they would want, like what they thought would be a food that would turn them on. Chocolate. It was chocolate, 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 and chocolate.
Yeah.
So, you know, psychologically, that's apparently top of the list.
Well, that's always the number one gift, you know.
Right.
Valentine's Day. Right. Or
so that association, like it's easy. Oh, my chocolates. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and do you think that that's actually true with chocolates? I mean, you don't think, or is it dependent? Is it one of those, like, it has to be like dark chocolate,
so,
like, whereas, you know, the healthy, like quote unquote healthier chocolate?
Yeah. So I do. I've created on my website, we have a list of like the 10 best foods for men's sexual health, 10 best foods for women's sexual health. Chocolate is on dark chocolate, specifically dark chocolate is on the list for women. Of the 10 best foods. So absolutely dark chocolate. And it's what's fascinating about chocolate is we don't actually understand it. It's one of the most complex foods, like, you know, in terms of its chemistry. We don't entirely understand it. We don't entirely understand its caffeine-like effects. Its acidity apparently can help balance a woman's pH.
Okay.
But we don't really understand how much or why. Like, there's so many things about chocolate that we don't totally understand, but its base, cacao, the fruit that, you know, chocolate is that gives chocolate its flavor, is just a fascinating and really nutritious food. So, yeah, you kind of can't go wrong with dark chocolate.
I love dark chocolate. I buy it. I buy the Hershey bars. And it stays on the counter, and I'll walk by throughout the day and crack off a little piece. Yeah. And just, you know,
you come back in early, like, oh, crap, it's gone now.
Nah, I used to carry a dark chocolate bar in my purse, and I learned this from a friend of mine who has a sex toy company. She said, listen, I was doing her podcast, and she said, listen, this is how you use chocolate for, like, better mood. You keep a bar in your purse. And anytime you're in one of those frustrating situations, like a long line at the post office or a telemarketer giving you a hard time, whatever it is, you just, like, you open up that bar and you just hear the snap of the chocolate. And, like, instantly it's like, oh, it's all better. So for a while, I carried a bar of dark chocolate. She was right. And I carried it around faithfully. And I was like, oh, this is so good, until summer came.
Crap, now I got this,
and I had chocolate in my purse.
I have this big melted mess. Oh, where's that dark chocolate bar? Let me take it out of here. And you're like, oh crap, that's all that was.
Yep.
Okay, this works in winter, fall, winter, spring.
Or if you live in Alaska, it's perfect year round.
I was gonna say anywhere, but it's like, okay,
if except it's gonna 2 days out of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, any other day? All right, no, this thing's going to melt in 5 minutes. You get in the car and it's like, okay, it's soup now.
Yep. That was me.
Hey, you live and you learn. You don't know until it happens to you. You find out the hard way about it there. But no, it's interesting. It's interesting to think of these things that you don't really know about or wouldn't have really put two and two together with it at the time. Right. And like I said, it's finding what works for people when it comes to the stuff that, and I think a lot of it is just making yourself feel better
There's some of that. Definitely, yeah, I mean, a little bit of that.
I mean, I think as soon as you say the aphrodisiacs, people are like, oh, I'm going to eat this and it's going to put me in the mood for sex, or it's going to put my wife in the mood for sex right away. And you're expecting that return like instantly. Yeah. But a lot of it is just making yourself feel better.
There's a lot of that. And then to me, there's also a lot of just being awareness, becoming more aware of how food and drink makes you feel. And which ones are just right or wrong for you personally.
Especially with, you know, the Make America Healthy thing that's going on right now, and seeing what's been put in our food for all these years and what's coming out of it, you know, is going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
I think at least in our household, and Bob as well, we pretty much grow all our own vegetables here.
Oh, I'm jealous. Homegrown vegetables are so delicious.
We raise our own meat, our own eggs, everything like that. Really, the only thing we grab in the store are things that are on the outside aisles.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then grains. That's a lot of dairy. I don't have anything to do dairy with yet, but I'm working on it.
No cows yet, huh?
So. No.
What's your plan?
Probably something along the line of goats.
Nice.
I don't have the acreage for any large livestock.
Right.
But I could definitely get a nursing goat here. So once that happens, I'm pretty well self-sustained here on where I'm at.
You're so lucky. That sounds fabulous. Although I have to admit, I wouldn't like to do all the work. So good for you.
Yeah, it is basically full-time.
Yeah, it's a great idea until you got to get out there and do the work. You're like, yeah. I mean,
I got herbs.
Yeah. Really, but getting in there.
You know, I can tell with even my health, and let's just say the last 20 years, I'm in my 50s now, so things have really caught up to where I didn't pay any attention to what I ate. I just worked all the time, choked down whatever I could get my hands on, would go out for a nice dinner on the weekend, cook some during the week. But it's amazing what my wife and I have done in the last couple of years to change everything around.
That's fabulous.
Like, just with food alone, I've cured her diabetes. Just changing her lifestyle and what she eats. She no longer, for the last 2 years, taken any medication for hers.
Wow. So,
it's not 100%. She has times where... it's easily controllable. Mm-hmm. And it's usually because... it happens on a Monday or Tuesday because we slacked off over the weekend.
Right. Yep.
So it's very interesting. I like that, you know, hearing that you have a degree in food is really interesting. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I do.
I'm just old country boy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, taking a degree in food, and then you took all this stuff there. Then what got you to the point where you said you wanted to write a book?
Gosh. So the reason I wrote a book was because I knew all this stuff and I was so excited about it.
Yes, to give
people weren't listening. And one of my best friends was a publicist. And she's like, listen, you've got to have a book. You've got to have a thing you can put in their hands and then they will listen to you.
Yeah.
And things have changed. I don't feel like it's that way so much anymore. But just
say, how long ago did you put out your first book?
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I feel so old to say it was 2006.
Okay. All right. So 20 years. Okay. It's all right. It's hey, people, hey, as long as you
20 years is like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, as long as it wasn't in, as we like to say, in the 1900s, when the kids these days, like, oh, you were alive in the 1900s? It's like, yes. Yeah, so it was past, if you said, like, 1996, then people are like, oh, my God, that's so old, but it's okay, 2006, Okay, that was still in the 2000s, so it was post 1900s. So
my first book, Fork Me, Spoon Me, came out in 2006, and people paid attention when they heard the title.
Yeah,
it's a catchy. I saw that too, and it's like, okay, Fork Me, Spoon Me. Okay, you're like, okay, I like where this is going. Okay, you're drawing me in. So now I'll open up the book and I'll start reading and then, you know, get sucked into it.
Right. Yes. It was my gateway book.
Nice.
Yeah. The gateway drug there. Yeah, lure them in. Okay.
And I really did. I made that book. I featured 12 ingredients that you could find in a grocery store, told you about why they were aphrodisiac, and then gave you recipes.
Okay.
So it was, it really was to just draw people into this idea. Both the fun of it and also the eating well part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a unique, I don't know how many books were out there at the time related to the topic. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some things related to, you know, food and sexual health and things like that.
One or two every decade, there. You know?
Yeah, but it's not a big oversaturated market.
No.
If you can get your book out there and then really draw people into it, then you're kind of, you know, taking control of that section right there, which is a great thing. It's not like this big general book. So it's good. You kind of focus in on it and people will see it. You know, they'll see the title and they'll be intrigued and then move along and then start following it.
It didn't hurt that there was a naked woman on the cover, so yeah.
No, that's always it's always a positive, you know. And people, oh, what is this? Okay, all right, okay, yeah. All right. You got me. That got them to pick up the book,
right?
And then start, flipping through it. You know, at your Barnes and Noble, Borders, whatever.
Oh, actually, you know where it sold the best was in California winery tasting rooms. Insane sales.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yes. Right next to How Do You Choose Cheese?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You're tasting wine. Are you going to pick the book with the naked woman on the cover or the cheese on the cover?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough choice, but you know, I think the woman's going to get it. Yeah.
I actually have a couple of wineries that still sell it 20 years later. It still sells.
Nice.
Oh, nice. That's good. Hey, longevity. See? What? 20 years later, still going strong with that there. And
more people are buying books on Amazon. Is it on there?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And an audiobook?
I never did an audiobook. It is an ebook. So I have three books now that are available on Amazon and all of the other retailers. One is ebook only. That was my most recent book. It was an experiment. And then the other two are both print and ebook.
Nice.
Okay. And is there more books in the future going to be?
Yes, I am really excited about what I'm working on now. And I haven't decided whether I'm just going to sell it like through my own website, if it's an Eat Something Sexy exclusive, or if I'm going to give it to my distributor. I'm that excited. I almost want to like hold it close. I'm calling it Passion Pantry, and I'm doing two books. One, The Passion Pantry for Him and The Passion Pantry for Her. And the whole idea is you can totally change. Like, you can have your like life go from okay to like a fabulous sex life simply by like what you put in your kitchen, like how you shop each week, what you do. And I did it separately for men and women because our needs are different, and particularly because women's needs, especially in terms of sexual health, are ignored a lot. Most studies have been done on men. Most treatments are for men. And if a woman has a complaint, she's just kind of told, okay, you know, we're dismissed a lot. So I wanted to have two separate books that address a lot of what's going on for each. So that is coming up. They're in draft form now. They were supposed to come out in April. I'm delaying that because I have kids and I want to be around for every moment of everything, but they are coming out this year.
Okay. Okay. Hey, 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 no, no, nothing wrong with that. Hey, you know, make them wait for it.
Yes, I did.
Keep teasing it, give it little pieces, keep teasing it every night. So
my tease is I have this thing called the Passion Pantry Audit, which is like your first taste of it. It's your like how you become aware and how you start thinking about, oh, these are things I want to eat more. By just like tearing it apart, breaking it down and putting it back together. Like, oh, I want to eat more of that. So that's my first tease, the old Passion Pantry Audit.
Okay. Okay. That's hey, awesome. A little bit just to get people future there. And the, let's see, I got the, that Arbor Mist is almost on its,
wow. You have done well. Here. I like, I haven't gotten halfway. Yeah. Look at me. I'm slow.
And so, Bob is ahead of me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't know. In this case, I don't know if I'm very, you know, happy that while, you know, going through and drinking this, it's very drinkable. It's very easy to drink. Like I said, it is just like drinking like a juice or a soda or something. I mean, you barely taste any, you don't taste any alcohol in it.
Right.
Because it's only 6%. But it's one of those things where it's like, that's like I probably shouldn't drink. Not that I'm getting wasted off of it, but
I'm going to hate
myself if I even drink that little bit there.
Yeah.
So you know I'll stick to my beer that I got left over here to get through. That'd be a little something I can put the cap on this and you know put it back in the fridge and then that could be another treat for another day.
Yep.
Over here with the Arbor Mist, but the exotic fruits though.
Winner in my book.
Yeah, I mean it's for it's what a
good
it is.
Choice, huh? Good, right.
Yeah, I mean it's not like I said, it doesn't taste bad. It's nothing that I don't even think I would really go out of my way to buy in any occasion. Really, I mean, because really, I mean, if you're getting a cheap wine, it wouldn't be this. I'm gonna. You know, take Amy's advice. I'm going to get, you know, that $10-$12 bottle. I'll spend the extra couple bucks and then get like a real, you know, wine. I mean, this, you know, that's like not a. Yeah. And I can spend the same thing. I can get, you know, another bottle of Orange Jubilee.
Honestly, I think I'd rather have like a rum and coke.
Yeah.
You know? I love rum and coke.
Oh,
It's like the same amount of sugar. The same. Well, it's probably more alcohol, but.
Definitely.
Out of money, ultimately,
Yeah, I mean, you can get that, you know, if you're getting a, you know, the rum and coke or a Jack and Coke, you know, what's $20, $25 for a medium sized bottle, of that or whatever rum you're getting, and then you know some Coca-Cola, we're saying.
Sorry, yes.
And you're gonna it's more alcohol in the rum than the bottle of Arbor Mist.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But not bad. I'm glad, you know. I mean, sadly, you know, I mean, you struck out trying to find something.
Sold out in all of Los Angeles apparently.
I know.
But the adventure is part of the experience.
Yes.
My husband had the adventure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had a great time going to all these stores. And
I bet he actually enjoyed going after that hunt.
You know, he had absolutely nothing else to do all day. So we gave him a project.
Yes, he wasn't going to get beat. I loved his determination in that story.
Yeah, I mean, going to store after store, and then ordering online. Yeah, we like to go out there. We like to get searching for the stuff there. And not even going into stores and knowing what you're looking for half the time, but trying to find something that's odd or out of the ordinary or something that's rare that you can't find when it comes to different
types of beers. Who knew Arbor Mist was rare?
Like I said, I went
It's everywhere here. Absolutely everywhere. Now, I don't understand the run on Arbor Mist in your area.
No,
that's a mystery.
Yeah,
you could write a book.
We need to do some investigative
mystery novel.
like I said, I went to two stores. The first one I went was a store right down the road from me. Didn't have any Arbor Mist, and I'm like, okay. Then I went to the second store, and that's where I couldn't find it at first, but then. I didn't recognize that they had switched the bottle around, so I wasn't I was looking for the wrong thing until I finally like focused and I'm like, oh shit, there it is down there. And then I picked it up there. So I don't know how many other stores around here do or don't have it. 'Cause I got it after that second one. I'm like, okay, I'm good. Yeah. I got it. We're set here, but maybe is it making a comeback? I don't know. I mean, 20 years ago with the time of that first book, I mean, that was the big Arbor Mist was one of the big lines out there.
Huge.
So maybe it's on the comeback. Maybe maybe we here today we can help facilitate the Arbor Mist
comeback.
We are trending.
I mean, it is so popular. You cannot buy it in Los Angeles. Like this is.
See, they think LA is like this big, you know, high class.
Well, that's because Arbor Mist is on its way back.
Yeah, that they like the. We always say it's the hipsters that take this stuff. They did it. We said with PBR years ago, got that, and they're like, oh, this is like this cool beer. Then they raised the price on it and everything. Then they gave up on it and moved on to something else. So the tipsters, they'll find this like, you know, vintage stuff and latch onto it. And then people like us, we try to find it for these occasions, and it's all sold out now. So what do we do?
I can tell you a quick story on hipsters. My wife and I, when we were dating, we were at a kind of a hipster bar. It's like a Germantown in Louisville. They have wonderful little bars in this neighborhood. And one was just a craft beer bar. And there was the guys, the hipsters, they had the flannel and the suspenders. And they were up there talking. They had their fancy mustaches. And they couldn't be more than 25 years old. We overheard him say, hey, did you try that new beer that Pabst has called PBR? and her and I looked at each other like, these guys are clowns. They have no idea what they're talking about. But we overheard this whole conversation on the new Pabst called PBR. And I knew right then. We're screwed.
It's all downhill from here. Yep, it's really not going to get any better. There. See, Roadhouse finished. I got a little bit left in my cup here.
I'm going
to
save this little bit for her. I think she'll enjoy this.
Yeah. Yeah, save a little bit. Yeah, a little bit to save.
Well, I didn't know it. Like a couple weeks back, she actually had a bottle of Blackberry Arbor Mist in the fridge. I didn't even know it. She's like, when I came home with this and told her what we were doing with it, she's like, oh, I just had some. Wow. And I didn't even know it. I don't even look on her side.
See, people are still out there buying it. You see? You know, like you said, there's the run out there. Kentucky.
Oh, she's on the top of the curve. I mean, she's riding this wave of this new trend. She's right there.
See?
It
might be because of her.
A wine rack in there full. I never even look at it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It just shows up sometimes. You're like, okay, what was that one? I don't know. It just shows up. It magically fills itself. It's like, I don't buy this stuff, but you go into the wine rack and it's like, I don't know, somehow these bottles of wine got in here. I don't know how or why, but I guess the wine fairy comes at night and fills it for everybody.
I would like a visit from the wine fairy, please.
I know. I was going to say, you know, the next time you put your order in, your $100 order to get the delivery, maybe the wine fairy can throw in a few extra special bottles.
Yes, there that for would you. Be delightful. In fact, that's funny because the last time I ordered from my friend, he threw in an extra bottle that had been left over from a tasting.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was a bottle that some marketer had written off. So he just like, have some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, bonus. Hey, nope. Nobody's going to turn down bonus.
Right,
bonus
exactly.
Wine, so bonus beers.
Wine
yeah, exactly. If it's free, it's for me. I'll take it. I don't care. You want to throw it in there? I'll drink it. I'll try it out there.
Sure.
You know, what's
but
one
it won't
more
go to waste.
It won't go to waste. We will power through it and drink it. We don't like to waste anything around here. Yeah. People in the malt liquor community and the people that we deal with, sometimes they'll get a tall can of something if it's a Four Loko or something, and they'll take a sip. They'll be like, "Oh, I hate this thing." Then they'll do a video where they like pour it down, you know, the drain. And it's like, oh, no, don't. I mean, like, I get it. You don't like it. But we always, even if we have something that we crack open, we'll power through it. So and we don't like to see it go to waste.
We've had plenty of episodes like that.
Yeah, yeah.
years and years, a million years ago, I was walking down the street with my roommate, and we were drinking wine at the time. You know, we just had our plastic cups of wine. Or no, she was drinking wine. I was not. I took it to, like, have some. And I was like, oh, no. This is, no, we're not drinking this. There was an unhoused neighbor sitting on the street. And I said, here, sir, would you like a glass of wine?
Yeah.
My friend got so upset. She's like, no, that is my wine. And I was looking forward to drinking it while I walk. And she bought it back from him.
Hey, I mean... She likes what she likes. She wanted to.
She does. And she gave him enough money to go in the store and buy a bottle. So
there you go. This story. Yeah. There's only one winner in that story.
Oh, yeah, there dude. Is. Dude. Yeah. He got a better bottle than her.
Too. Yeah, yeah, man. Hey, kudos to him, man. He was going to get a free glass, and then, nope, that got taken away. Then that's here's a few great. Bucks. Go buy yourself a bottle.
Yeah.
Of whatever else that you want over there. But hey, Amy. Hey, thanks. Thank you for taking the time to join us here today. I know you brought up, you know, the book you're working on there and everything. Is there anything else you have in the pipeline, or you want to tell everybody where they can find you? You know, plug all your socials.
Oh, okay. I'll do my plug. Yeah. So I think I already plugged. So go to you'll find me at eatsomethingsexy.com. You'll find all the things. And I really, if anything I said resonates with you, go to eatsomethingsexy.com/podcast. It's an exclusive only for people who are listening to the podcast. It's called What Turns You On at the Table. Go get it, try it, see that I'm not crazy. experience it for yourself. There you go.
And are you on Instagram or X or anything like that?
I am on X as @ForkMeSpoonMe. I was there back in the heyday of Twitter. I loved
I miss the I always bring it the OG Twitter days where it was a different world back then. Where
it was. So. But I have a community there, so I don't want to leave.
Yeah, you have your following out there. You got to tough it out. You got to stick with it.
Yeah. I am not. I'm not good with the visual, so Instagram just annoys me.
That's fair. That's fair enough. You got your spots. You got to pick your battles. You got to stick with where the people can find you out there. Yeah. So we will definitely keeping tabs on you out there. So definitely, like, hey, give Amy a follow. Check her out there. Check out the website. Waiting for that new book to come out there. And we'll dive deeper. We'll check out some of these tips and tricks you got for us out there. And don't stop searching for the Arbor Mist.
The Arbor Mist. Hopefully
you can come across. Maybe, hey, you go out there, you search, you find it, you can come back on with us.
Oh,
maybe
perfect.
We'll find another exotic.
Tell your husband I got a banana sticker for him for his efforts.
Oh, excellent. Awesome.
That's
a gift for the effort.
Yes.
Hey, we love the search. We like the dedication to the search out. We're not unreal. Giving up until the 11th hour when it got to the point where it's like, you know what? I don't have any more time to search anymore. But and then tomorrow he'll go out, or you'll go out and you'll see it sitting right on the shelf. You'll be like,
probably.
Damn it. It was right here all along. Yeah. But hey, Amy, thank you for taking the time to join us here on the podcast there for Roadhouse. We had our Arbor Mist, the exotic fruits, to go with our Arbor Mist and aphrodisiacs here today. So give Amy a follow. Check out her website for Roadhouse. I am Bumwine Bob, and until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
I need a beer.